Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to For Geek's Sake. I know I can't. It sounds now that I had to do the intro a couple times before we started recording, it feels so canned and forced.
Uh-huh.
I hate my intro now.
You need a new intro.
I do need a new intro. It's probably better than this one, though, because this one sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should listen to other podcasts and get ideas and steal them.
No.
No?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. It's going to look really weird if I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, this is NPR. I don't feel like that's going to... Welcome to Fresh Air. I don't know. Like,
well, the Nerdist, I mean, they do like a 10-minute intro of like the hosts and stuff, like talking about what's going on in the community. And then they just like go. Like there's no intro. They just like start talking.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
We could do that, but I think it would be weird.
Dice Tower has their voice guy does the, he's a really cool intro and he always makes it sound like really, I'm not as good as him though, so. Oh. In the studio today with producer Dan.
Hey, everyone.
And the Melisandre of our crew.
What?
And that she's secretly 900 years old. And is only kept young by... Ooh, is that spoilery? Like two episodes back. We have co-host Danielle in there.
Hello, everyone. I'm not really 900 years old.
No, she's not. But she does have a boat for sale.
Okay. Yeah. You know what, you guys?
Slightly used.
I think we've had enough of the boat. Let's
like three bullet holes, but those can be patched up.
This
really
is
a little
easy.
Bit of
this is
fiberglass, a little bit of
out
spackle.
Of hand, out of control. They're going to start actually looking at me and being like, what did she do? Was she trying to go to Cuba from Jamaica? They're nowhere near each other. What the heck?
They are relatively near each other.
I mean, they're in the same ocean-ish.
Right. I mean, they're like, I mean, like Madagascar and Jamaica aren't anywhere close to each other. Like that's, those are very different.
Right.
Very excited, of course, for the launch party coming up May 20th.
This year, 2016?
Yes. Danielle, determined to make sure we get our annual portions correct.
Well, you know, I mean, if we've got time travelers out there, it's really important.
It is. And thank you
and
for
besides,
keeping them up to date.
What if someone started listening to this after we had the launch party? Let's say it's June or July, and they're binge listening. I guess that could be a
then
thing.
Then they're going to take a trip to Hourglass. And you know what? Good for them, because it's a fine establishment.
So maybe next year, in 2017, on May 20th, we should go there just in case.
Just in case anybody's hanging out, wouldn't it feel bad for them? It's going to be like a Tuesday or something. And like, I don't know. This doesn't seem like a pretty lousy day for a launch party. Anyway, we're very excited for it. May 20th, we have photo booths. We've got DJs. We've got a prize list that is just getting insane. Lots of really cool people coming to show up. A couple of folks, local media type people going to be out there. We're very, very excited. And, of course, among the prizes, a guest spot here on For Geek's Sake.
And if you are like totally like, oh my God, I hate that Danielle girl, you can request that I not be on the show that day.
No, Dan, you are not allowed to request that Danielle not be on the show.
Not me.
Anyway, so yeah, please come out May 20th starting at 7 o'clock at Hourglass Brewery, all to launch GeekStreetStation.com. GeekStreetStation.com, it's a local website that you can't get to yet.
Yet.
It's got a lock screen. You,
that's a great ad.
But if you,
I know.
If that you go the there, if you go there, the splash page is really cute.
I know. I did the splash page myself.
I really like it. I think that we should have that somewhere on the website at some point.
I actually just really want that toy.
Yeah.
What is it?
What is it a toy of?
I found it just in things. Let's go ahead and get started here. Up first on This Week in Geek. So SpaceX. So let's talk about spacesuits for a second. They're functional, right? But in the form function argument, form lost in a big way.
Right.
Right. They're not.
I can't imagine why.
They're not the most stylish outfits.
They're not.
I wouldn't wear one like if I was going to a gala.
Right. Space chic, not a thing.
No, not a thing. Yet.
Yet. Yet. And it's exactly right because apparently we had a renowned superhero costume designer, was Jose Fernandez, right?
That's right.
Elon Musk, the guy who owns SpaceX, asked him to design a new spacesuit.
Also Tesla. And
Tesla, it's a bunch of things.
Yeah.
But he wasn't asking him to design a new car suit.
Right. A car suit.
It seems like every other week, though, Elon Musk finds a way to get himself into This Week in Geek.
He does.
Elon Musk must listen to our show and is like, you know what? I haven't done anything in a while.
Do you think he panics on like a Sunday night if he hasn't done anything? Because he knows we record Tuesdays.
I think so.
Actually, I think he starts to panic on Monday mornings.
Well, he'd better. I mean, listen, we've only got so many spots. So,
yeah.
Elon, listen.
We're watching out for you, Elon.
We're trying to help, man.
Oh, he should come to our launch party.
Elon, you're invited to the launch party. First round's on me, buddy. I'm kidding. You're a billionaire. Your first right? round's on you. I'm poor, dude. What are you talking about? So Reddit users believe they've identified the spacesuit, and I'm really hoping they're wrong.
It doesn't look very Superman-y.
Right.
Like, it just kind of...
I don't think that they asked him to make them a superhero suit. I think they just said, make a more comfortable, better-looking spacesuit.
No, the article said that they said superhero. That doesn't look like a superhero. There's no cape. There's no color. There's no emblem.
There are boots. So Jose Fernandez has designed just all of the good superhero costumes.
Most of them.
X-Men, Superman, Batman... just all lots of them. Lots. Although I believe he was responsible for Batnips, wasn't he?
I think so.
Oh, those were terrible.
Yeah, but listen, everybody's allowed to have an off day. I don't know if you listen to some of our episodes. We have them too. anyway, so you'll be able to see this on the show notes. But the new costume I'm really hoping that's not actually it, because I do want a little bit of flair. You know, you could have asked anybody to design a new spacesuit, but if you're gonna ask a guy who designed superhero costumes. Damn it, I expect at least a utility belt.
There's no way this is the real
It does have to still be functional.
Suit.
That's the thing.
Yeah, it could be functional and not be white.
It needs a utility belt to be functional. How are they gonna tether themselves to the space station when they're doing their spacewalks?
Well, the harness.
To what? He has no utility belt.
No, you put the harness on.
No. I'm with Danielle on this one.
That's unacceptable.
Let's get a utility belt going on here. I want some anti-grav boots.
Yep. Oh! Yes, in red. Like, give me some color.
There we go. Splash us up a little bit.
It looks way too much like the costumes in After Earth for me.
Also, yeah. the helmet looks a little bit like motorcycle-y to me.
Yeah, and not in like a fun, cool, hip way.
No.
Yeah, they're just kind of like, I mean, I'm sure they're very functional, but I'd want something just a little bit splashier.
I honestly don't think this could possibly be it, because don't they need a bigger helmet for all the oxygen? And where are they going to keep the oxygen?
Well, we're keeping in mind that the spacesuit hasn't been redesigned since it was first designed. the technology has probably moved on a little bit.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What?
They don't keep the oxygen in the helmet, Danielle. The oxygen is in a tank on his back. He's still going to have a tank on his back.
I know, but it has to pump into the helmet if there's no room in the helmet.
The harness is going to be built into the tank, and the tank is going to go
on
his back.
If there's no room in the helmet, then it's going to convert the air too quickly. He's going to hyperventilate.
Yeah, because that's what happens to scuba divers.
All right, people.
Scuba divers' helmets are bigger than that.
No, not currently.
No.
Like the old ones, yes, when they had the big suit.
Not
like the
those.
What was like that? Cuban
officer and a gentleman, wasn't it?
Man of Honor.
Man of Honor. There we go.
You guys are thinking like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Right.
Jules Verne.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
The lead boots.
All right. Let's move on here. No. We're not moving on. I want to go back for just a second. Do you think this could be my supervillain outfit?
No.
No, it's not. It's. It doesn't have the flash that you need.
Fair enough.
You would definitely
but you know
need
who
more
could,
color.
You know who could design it for me, though? Jose Fernandez.
Oh, yeah.
Jose, call me. I definitely need an outfit.
And if we could get Elon Musk to go ahead and fund that project, that would be fantastic.
I think Elon Musk may actually be the supervillain that I'm... Like,
No. Elon Musk is a superhero.
Yeah, that's what
Mark
he
Zuckerberg is the villain.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Everyone
Pretty
knows
sure.
that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and move on to the new Han.
Han Solo.
How you feeling about it? Just the words. Let me just say the sentence to you. Let me just say a sentence to you.
Okay.
And I just, without thinking about who they actually cast, not a reaction to that person, but it's just a reaction to this sentence. We have a new Han Solo.
Okay, wait. I have a question.
Yeah, no, I have an immediate like twitch.
Yeah.
I have a question. Why? Okay, so Star Wars is going forward in time, right?
That is true.
Do we need a young Han Solo?
Because it's not just going forward in time. Just like Rogue One is a prequel to Episode 4.
It's one of the really interesting things that Star Wars is doing, because they're not actually just going forward in time. They're kind of operating on two different levels here. They've got the movies that are progressing in order. So like we had, of course, Force Awakens was Episode 7, mm-hmm. and Episode 8's coming out in 2018, 17?
Oh, so he's not going to be in Episode 8.
No.
Oh, I thought he... Okay, that's where I was confused.
So this is... Right. So Rogue One actually takes place between episodes 3 and episode 4.
4, right.
Uh-huh. To show how they get the plan for the Death Star.
Which is technically titled Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
And it's a movie, not a TV show.
Right.
Right. And the theory is that as they do these other spin-off movies, that they will be titled and then called A Star Wars Story, just like Rogue One.
Right. So that they'll be... So you've got this Han Solo one. There's rumors of one on Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. That'll take place outside of the normal timeline and kind of fill in stuff, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, all that to say that we have Alden Ehrenreich. Am I saying it right?
I think so.
I just... Listen.
A relative unknown.
Yeah, I had never heard of anything he'd been in, so...
No, and there's stuff. He was actually on Supernatural. I don't remember him from the Wendigo episode. Wendigo was the name of the episode. He played a character named Ben Collins. I don't remember that exact episode.
Actually like 3 episodes.
Well, yeah, what season are you on of Supernatural?
11.
So that's like 5 million episodes. Like, how could you not remember this guy from 3 episodes?
10 years ago.
But the the stuff that we've seen looks pretty good. I think he maybe can do this.
Yeah.
It's just how do you follow Harrison Ford?
Well, they did start with what, 2,500 actors that they were considering.
Yeah.
And they narrowed it down to this guy.
Yeah.
Hey, I know someone that followed Harrison Ford and didn't do so well. Shia LaBeouf.
I don't know what you're talking about. That wasn't an Indiana Jones movie.
No, never happened.
Never
Hashtag
happened.
Hashtag just singing.
But he did actually work for, not Shia, that guy. This guy
Alden,
has worked for,
whatever.
Oh, yeah, Ehrenreich has worked for Francis Ford, done work under Francis Ford Coppola, under Woody Allen, under the Coen brothers. Mm-hmm. The guy's clearly got some acting chops.
And he did some movie in 2013 called Beautiful Creatures, which I had never heard of before, but apparently I should have because the cast is amazing and the plot is like right up my alley. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Why have I never seen that?
We actually, Dan and I both just assumed you had.
Yeah.
No, I had never seen that. I'm going to have to go and see it.
All right. Sorry.
I think she's a sucky.
Well, and he was in Hail Caesar.
Right.
With George Clooney.
Which I haven't gotten to see, but really wanted to. That one looked really good.
I haven't seen it either, but the scene that we saw of him actually looked pretty good, of him like being a terrible actor. Like, it was kind of funny.
Yeah, he definitely has some comedic timing, which is an important part of Han Solo. So, we'll see.
Is it that important for Han Solo? I'm just asking, stop shooting laser beams at me with your
eyes. You guys should see the look I'll just give Danielle.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of time travel, Wolverine is officially getting an R rating for his third and conceivably final movie.
Wait, why is that? Yeah. What does that have to do with time travel? Is he a time traveler?
Well, because we know that Wolverine 3 is being set in the future.
And he did time travel in Days of Future Past.
And we retconned a whole bunch of other movies.
Right.
Yes.
So there's lots of wibbly wobbly going on.
And he's going to be appearing in X-Men Apocalypse in what we assume is a prequel type fashion. It'll be him during his Weapon X days, most likely.
Right. So that'll be... I'm fascinated to see what's going on here. However, let's talk about the R rating here. We talked about this when discussing Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
did.
I said then I was not completely kosher with Wolverine getting an R rating. I'm not changing my tune.
Well, we'll see. I mean, as long as it's not just gratuitous because they want it to be an R rating.
If they're doing Old Man Logan, it makes complete sense.
It does. It absolutely
does. No matter
does.
What, it makes sense
Why?
To have a
like
Wolverine with an
crotchety?
R rating.
Is he going to be crotchety and cussy?
No, he comes from a alternate timeline, and it's just really screwed up.
And he's violent, and he like brutally gory.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who's he's got two superpowers. One, he regenerates like Deadpool, and two, he has knives that come out of his freaking hands that he stabs people to death with.
Are we talking gory like last episode Game of Thrones gory?
Conceivably. I mean, it doesn't...
That was disgusting.
I mean, absolutely, it could be. I don't know. We don't know a whole lot what's going on here. But my concern here is you've given us a PG to PG-13 Wolverine for this entire time.
Right.
And then for this guy's last Wolverine movie, you're suddenly jumping to R. And I don't think that's... I mean, as a fan of Wolverine, am I excited? Absolutely. But, I'm looking at all the kids that are going to want to see this and have had Wolverine. And
I told my 7-year-old today that the new Wolverine movie was going to be rated R. And he went, what? another R-rated superhero movie? And he was really upset because he wants to see these.
Do you think it's a bandwagon issue? Like, do you think he's jumping on Deadpool's bandwagon?
Well, it's the same studio. So they went, oh, look how we made a lot of money.
Well,
let's make a lot
more.
No, now in Wolverine 2, though, they were strongly considering an R rating and recorded several scenes with an R rating in mind and then backed off and went for the PG-13.
Right, because they didn't have the guts to do it then, but now Deadpool's done it.
Right.
Now,
so, I mean, all I'm saying is that this
it opens
out
that
of,
door.
This isn't out of the blue. This is something they've been considering for a long time, and yeah, now they have the evidence. My thought is, I know we're in uncharted waters here, but that's been kind of the way things have been going with a lot of our geek stuff.
Right.
This thing needs to be released both ways. You need to give a,
like, Batman versus Superman?
Nothing like Batman versus Superman in any way, shape, or form. I don't know what you're referring to specifically.
Well, it was released PG-13, and now they're about to release the R-rated version, which is also going to be on the DVD.
Oh, yes. Okay, in that case.
But they're going to release it in theaters for, like, a week or something.
And that's what I would do. I would give, I mean, I want to see an R-rated Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman, personally. I would love to see that. But I think you've got to give, you owe it to the kids that helped keep this movie going for a very long time. This franchise, this character alive forever. You gotta give them something that's not R. That's just kind of my...
Yeah, I'm kind of split on it because I've always thought that Wolverine belonged, you know, rated R because he is a crotchety old guy that has knives coming out of his hands.
Yeah, but...
And if they reboot with a new Wolverine...
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That would be my solution. But you got to wait, and Fox doesn't want to wait for that.
Also, Hugh Jackman wants it, and...
I think my opinion, because A, I'm not a parent. B, I'm above the age of 17. And C,
you're what?
I know. And C, like, I'm relatively new to this universe in general. Like, it doesn't bother me, except that I feel like they're just doing it because of Deadpool, and that's kind of like lame.
Yeah.
You know, well, like, just, it's just lame. I don't know.
So the other interesting thing here, though, is that we do know it's the timeline here. So that I think it's, I do like the idea that we're jumping forward, that we're going to see. I would really hope they go with an old man Logan kind of timeline. I think that would be really interesting to do. Really, we'll know a lot more after Apocalypse drops, and we can see what they're doing at the timeline. Because Apocalypse, they're going to have to mess with some timelines in some big ways to make that work.
How many, like, X-Men books, comic book series are there, like, that they have all these timelines and
all of them? I don't know. There's got to be at least 5.
Oh my god, that's not even the tip of the iceberg.
No, I mean, really? Okay.
Oh yeah, even with like the all new, all different, there's so many X-Men titles, it's crazy. Even with the all new and all different, there's still pre-existing X-Men stories that are going. So you've got like Ultimate X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, Amazing X-Men, X-Force, X-Factor, New Mutants.
I wasn't even thinking about all those too. Yeah,
I mean, the list goes on and on.
So we'll have to see what they do.
And each comic book series can go on its own, like, timeline, its own rules, its own universe, basically?
It's an own self-contained story. You could just read Astonishing X-Men and get your complete story just reading Astonishing. You don't have to read anything else. Read Astonishing X-Men.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Into news that made me just the happiest man.
It made you tear up a little bit.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. So Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series is officially coming to television. And I actually, you know what? That's being a little ahead of ourselves.
Uh-huh.
It cleared the last legal hurdle, which is what's been keeping it from coming to television. They've been trying to make this TV series for a very, very long time, but it was wrapped up in a bunch of legal battles with the estate and with all this other stuff. So then, it wasn't even with the estate. With I think it was Fox that owned that bought the option and has been sitting on it forever and ever and ever. And finally, somebody made a decision somewhere. I just assume it was Fox because whoever it was an asshole. And so I just assume Fox.
Could have been Sony.
No. Fox did Firefly. I'm not letting that go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Calm down. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, moving on.
So Wheel of Time. So
tell us about it.
Getting very, very, very short version here. We're talking 14 books. This thing is easily double the length of Harry Potter and then some.
Yeah.
I mean, each of these 14 books is about the size of the last of the later Harry Potters. You know, I don't know if you've ever looked at the Harry Potter books like in an order.
Yeah.
But they get substantially, exponentially longer as you go. So we're talking like book six length on average.
Wow.
And there's 14 of them plus A New Spring, which was technically a prequel. So you're kind of 15 there. Robert Jordan was actually good friends with George R.R. Martin, who of course did Game of Thrones.
He did A Song of Fire and Ice or something.
I'm sorry. Yes, a song of Ice and Fire. A Song of Fire and Ice? It doesn't matter. Point is, so they were friends. Robert Jordan actually, unfortunately, died before he can complete it, and it was picked up by he actually on his as he's lying there dying, he is dictating the last events that happened in the book and named who he wanted to pick up the mantle after he passed. And So it's passed to a man named Brandon Sanderson, who is a talented writer in his own right, done some absolutely fantastic stuff. The Furies of Calderon, the Codex Alera, really great stuff. So, this thing, my big concern here is the studio, because they haven't announced who, they haven't figured out yet who's picking this up. This thing is big, it is long, it is complicated, but it doesn't have the sex and violence to the degree, it has almost no sex. And not the gory type of hardcore violence that you see in something like Game of Thrones.
So if there's no sex, I probably won't watch it. I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, but what it does have, but you know what it does have, and this gets into our main topic, world building.
Okay.
I would suggest that Robert Jordan did some of the best world building in fiction. Hmm. He built an expansive world with different countries, different styles, different of values for each of the different countries, different clothing styles, different accents, different architecture, different. I mean, Robert Jordan's notes will absolutely tell you what the major exports and imports for all of the different countries in his world are. I mean, down to that kind of nitty gritty detail. And occasionally in his books, the biggest weakness they had was that he'll spend a paragraph or a page explaining what the room looks like or what her dress looked like. And it was really interesting to do, but it did Dragon Places. So, but hey, there's plenty there to make a 9 or 15 or 35 seasons on. So,
wow. So do you think that's a book series that I should read, or other fans of Harry Potter and or Game of Thrones? Is that like something that we should be into?
I would suggest that Jordan's, if you liked Tolkien, then Jordan, more of the Tolkien vibe, the high fantasy, big epic world kind of stuff.
Don't get mad at me.
Not gonna be your bag, huh?
I've never read Tolkien.
That's okay. We'll get you there.
So I don't know if that's my bag or not.
It's big, expansive world building. That's really the – if that kind of stuff appeals to you, then you'll love Robert Jordan.
Like, can I just pick up book number one and, like, check it out?
Absolutely. And I would say the book number one is probably one of the shortest of the series. You can and it's a great book. It definitely gets you into the series from the word go. Some of my favorite characters in fiction are come out of the Wheel of Time series. So it's – If you're a geek, if you're a nerd, if you just enjoy great fiction, check out book one. It's called Eye of the World, and that's the first book in the Wheel of Time series by Robert Jordan, spelled just like it sounds, no crazy extra letters there. And just see if you like it. I gotta tell you, I love it, and I'm very, very excited to see what happens next.
It says the audio of that book is 29 hours and 32 minutes, and the longest one is like almost 42 hours, and it says combined all of the books would take you 19 days to listen to all of the books on audio. 19 days nonstop.
It's right. It's not short.
No.
I mean, this is legitimate. You're signing up for all of Harry Potter again. Like, that's
like three times over.
Possibly three times. Yeah, I don't know exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, no, it's not, and I've actually read the entire series, I think, three or four times.
What network would you want to see pick this up?
It's got to be AMC.
Really? Why?
Because HBO, you watch HBO, you need sex and violence to HBO.
No, like, that's, HBO has Veep, they've got plenty of shows that don't have both.
Well, sex,
of those
violence,
things.
Or comedy.
Right.
Okay.
Like, I mean, the shows that would be, I don't know of any shows.
Well, why can't it be Showtime then?
Showtime is, have you seen Showtime shows? Like,
this is they're HBO's direct competition.
Well, and you're talking Spartacus, Blood and Sand. You know what I mean? Like, they look at the sex and violence in HBO and go, pansies. But AMC understands the big world, the big budget that this has to be.
Yeah.
It's got the kind of deep roots in this kind of, you know, in this stuff. It doesn't have the anti-hero in the way that you see on that's really popular in a lot of other shows now. But I think AMC could pick it up and do it. I'm concerned it's going to get picked up by a network, by an ABC, CBS, Fox, whatever.
Right.
At which point we're doomed.
And then it becomes Under the Dome with
swords. I would think if a network was going to pick it up, I think probably Fox would do the best with it. I mean, I don't know much about the show, but like,
you just touched a nerve there.
I definitely wouldn't trust it with ABC. I definitely wouldn't trust it with CBS. NBC, no, NBC prefers comedy.
Oh, out of your yeah, major networks? Oh, yeah, out of those four, yes.
Yeah, Fox, you would have to do four. Fox, because Fox will be edgier and will use a bigger budget. So,
but this needs AMC. AMC has got the shows that show that they're, I mean, this is the studio, the network that brought us Breaking Bad and Walking Dead and the Western one.
I know what you're talking
Badlands.
About.
But yeah, a lot of other shows that have got that are a bit bigger, a little broader, a little heavier. Turns comes out of AMC.
Halt and Catch Fire.
So there's a lot of shows there that tell me that okay, this would work.
Is it going to need a budget that's too big for that though?
Depends. I mean,
I got to think that like you got to be going up directly against Game of Thrones, but finding a way to not copy Game of Thrones stylistically.
Well, and that's the thing, though. That's
going to be expensive.
Well, I think that's going to be the biggest risk on it, too, because Game of Thrones is not – Game of Thrones is this dark, gritty, bloody story, whereas this is high fantasy.
An idea. What if it just goes straight to Netflix or Hulu?
I would weep tears of joy.
I mean,
Netflix would be nice.
Netflix would be
amazing original programming.
Yes.
Amazing.
Marco Polo, I think, would be the closest. You know what? Marco Polo is probably – closer to it, and you got this. I know Marco Polo got kind of panned. And it was
no, I just thought of the worst case scenario.
What?
CBS picks it up for their streaming service. Alongside Star Trek.
He's going to punch someone in the face.
God, you guys are killing me here.
That vein's coming up out of his forehead.
And what would be funny is if CBS is like, yeah, well, the streaming service for Star Trek is different than the streaming service for Wheel of Time. So it's my bow.
Yeah, I could. All right, let's
you'd have
some...
to pay $7 for that one show.
Let's go into our main topic. We're talking shared universes here. So we did our big review on Civil War. And if you haven't listened to it and you have watched Civil War, then you should correct that and go, if you haven't seen Civil War,
correct
God,
that.
Seriously, Danielle,
jeez.
Go see Civil War. It
don't
was
call
amazing.
Me out like that.
So good.
Oh,
I will tell you before we move into this that I have been affirmed by multiple people that my fears are not reality, that the trailer did not expose all of the movie.
Oh, God,
there is more.
Oh, God, no.
Because the trailers weren't, I mean, it's the same way I felt about BVS. Like, the trailers weren't intriguing me like, the earlier ones were. The later ones were not.
Well, and there was.
We'll get to that when we get to the Marvel Universe.
Right. But. So the idea here, we're talking about shared universes. Basically, I'm running off of a very rough definition here, but at its core, what we wanted to look at was a handful of properties that expand beyond a single media. So, for example, not just a series of movies or not just a series of books, not even a series of books that they turned into movies. There has to be more stuff, more expansive stuff.
So that's why Hunger Games doesn't qualify. For
exactly.
Instance.
Hunger Games would not qualify as an expanded universe. There are a series of books that one of them at least was amazing. And then, you know, you've got the movies that go along with it. But sure. Harry Potter would, and we'll get into why, even though it might not at first seem like it. That's kind of the idea here. So we want to take a quick look at them. Are they working? Aren't they working? What do we like about them? And kind of do that. So we're going to start out with one of the most exciting and rapidly expanding universes out there.
The granddaddy of them all.
Actually, no. I thought it was, and then I realized that our last one.
Oh, wait, yeah, I guess.
Or one of our last ones. Outdoes it by quite a bit there.
So you're talking about
Star Wars. So now Star Wars is an interesting idea. They were doing an expanded universe in a bigger way than anyone else. I think they're not the oldest one out there, but they're definitely.
Well, I think the problem, I think they could have been the biggest one, except that when they came out and said only this section is canon, they shrunk their universe quite substantially.
Oh, yeah. But they did it, and this was one of the interesting things, I think, about it, and one of the unique things to Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen anybody else in a shared universe actively prune it in such a way.
Yeah, to me, it almost feels like with Disney taking it over and, like you said, shrinking down the universe, but now they're expanding it again.
Right.
So it's like they were taking a breath. They contracted, now they're expanding, and I think that as we look back in 10, 15 years, we're going to see that a lot of the things from the old expanded universe are going to be incorporated in one way or another.
Exactly.
Into this, at least in some way.
It's almost like they just needed to rein it in. It's like when your 2-year-old is having a tantrum and you're like, you're like, just calm down, like just sit here for a minute and then you can play again and be productive and have fun.
Exactly. Well, and this is coming out of Disney, who obviously, I mean, also owning
understands
Marvel.
Two-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Understands, well, actually, yes, both 2-year-olds and expanded universes. But so I had not gotten to read a ton of the old expanded universe stuff. Mm-hmm. I'd read the Thrawn trilogy. I'd read one or two others, but that now they're expanding out. And I think probably more media types than anyone else out there.
Yeah.
Cause we've got, we've obviously got what we're now up to seven feature length movies, 5 or 6 different comic book series that have currently been produced, another 9 movies en route, along with 2 television shows, and expanding out currently rapidly on multiple tiers.
Yeah.
And those TV shows are animated, right?
Right.
Which is like even more different than live action. So if they ever had a live action TV show, that would technically be another genre for them.
That's true.
Can you imagine if they put a Star Wars expanded universe TV show on ABC?
Wow.
It'd be fantastic.
That would be...
Why?
Well, because, okay, so we're comparing and contrast Star Wars to Star Trek here.
Yeah. Okay.
Star Trek always kind of done as a, well, okay, when Star Trek is done correctly,
yes,
it is done as a utopian type ideal that everyone is striving for and getting close to. There's yes. still war, there's still conflict, but at its essence, that's supposed to be, Star Trek is supposed to be us at our best. Star Wars is just us. With all of the violence and bloodshed
and war and the
tragedy and the hope and everything that kind of comes along with it. But a Star Trek TV show would be amazing and no one's ever done
Star
it.
Wars.
I'm sorry, Star Wars live action television show would be amazing and no one's ever done it. And I don't know why. I don't know why.
Like, even if they did it as like a Deep Space Nine, like
Friends of the Universe.
Yeah. Or just like what am I trying to say? A Rebel Outpost kind of a MASH kind of show. MASH in space.
I thought Rogue One was going to be a TV show. That's why I got confused like a while back.
Don't feel bad. I thought Rogue One was going to feature Poe. I was so disappointed. So bitterly disappointed. So I think Star Wars does just about everything right. I don't think there's anything there that they do that I wasn't, that I'm not looking at going, yeah, no, this is the blueprint everybody else should be looking at. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing it for a long time. And it's complicated to keep track of all these characters and where they're at.
So going back to Han Solo being young, are they going to do a separate prequel of Han Solo, like his origin story? Or
yeah, that's what this is. It's how he became the Han Solo that we meet in A New Hope.
But that's not in Rogue One. It's a separate movie.
Right, it's a separate movie.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so Rogue One comes out this year. Episode 8 comes out next year. The year after that, we should begin our Han Solo movie. So that's kind of the idea. So yeah, I think you've got all the greatest hits there. I think you're firing on all cylinders. I think Star Wars does it just right. Let's talk next about one of the most innovative universes that's currently being built. Talking about the Potterverse.
Yes.
So the Potterverse bucks tradition in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. They are hitting on media. Now, I mean, at first it may seem like, what's the difference between Potter and Hunger Games?
Sure.
But because you had a series of books, those books are made into movies. And Harry Potter broke ground in a lot of ways. It was one of the movies, I think, one of the series most responsible for geek going mainstream like it did. It was longer than any other really major series ever had. I mean, usually you don't get past 3 movies in a series.
You're a horror movie.
Right. I'm sorry.
Or like Fast and the Furious.
Right.
I think they're on like 8 or 9.
This one predates Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
The only other series that had been doing this many movies And that they outnumbered him, actually, was Star Wars was up to 6 at this point, and Star Trek also was up to, including if you include the old movies and the new movies, I think they're right about the same time. But those aren't the same thing, you know? Those aren't a single story in the same way that the Harry Potter series was a single story.
So what's cool now is that now we're not just like one mixed media of book to movie. Now we're adding in, she had the 3 textbooks, which are now turned into fiction movies that she's now going to publish the screenplays for. So there's going to be 3 different versions of Fantastic Beasts in media.
Which is bold.
Yeah. And then, of course, we've got the stage show of A Cursed Child, which she's also, again, turning into a book. So there's like so much going on. It's almost hard to keep track. And of course, you've got her website Pottermore, which is all canon. She releases articles as Rita Skeeter all the time. So it's like, holy crap.
I'm going to be the dissenting opinion here.
All right.
Of course you are. I'm just sorry. I'm sorry, Dan.
Because for me, so far, we've got books that have been adapted into a movie. We've got a stage show coming, which is that same storyline. And then until Fantastic Beasts comes out, basically, this universe hasn't been expanded to me.
Well, no, this is expanded because A Cursed Child is their children.
Right. That's just a prequel. That's just a sequel.
So is A Force Awakens.
But it doesn't. But it's a different media because there's no movie coming out for Cursed Child. It is a stage show.
Only.
And it, but it's a canon
but it's
stage
still,
show.
It's still an adaptation of the story, basically.
I guess okay. So what you're suggesting is that there was not,
and then you got a Wikipedia page, basically a glorified Wikipedia page.
It's not a glorified Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
It is the author creating canon and putting it into
creating content. It's not a Wikipedia page.
Well, I mean, it is technically speaking very much a Wikipedia, like very similar to a Wikipedia page.
No, it's not.
Well, I mean, she's publishing a bunch of individual. I guess it's not a Wikipedia in that it is not a community creating it. In the way that Wikipedia is.
It's more like a blog or a magazine or something like that. Wikipedia is like an encyclopedia online.
Right,
it's
but until Fantastic Beasts comes out, everything that we've seen from this is centered around one character.
A Cursed Child is not centered around Harry Potter.
It's Harry Potter and his son.
Harry Potter isn't, I don't think.
Yeah, he is.
A minor character.
The stars of the show are the grown-up versions of Harry, Hermione, and Ron. This is all a continuation of the Harry Potter story.
No, he makes a good point.
Right.
Okay.
But Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him, the original textbooks are not centered around Harry Potter. Harry Potter isn't even mentioned in them because Harry Potter wasn't around when they were written.
Right, but that's... Yes, he was, because they were written after Harry Potter was written by...
But... Newt Scamander.
But from a timeline perspective.
Yeah, they were written before.
Right, but basically all that is, to me, is a big version, like a chapter in her book describing a textbook that is in this story. To me, that's not that does not a universe make.
Well, and I will say that it is hard to compare the width and breadth of something like Star Wars to something like Harry Potter.
Right.
I think we should let our listeners weigh in on
or any of our other universes that we're going to discuss.
But the reason that I wanted Potter on this because we have it going out into things like publishing fictional textbooks and a regular update of canon stuff. There's nothing like that happening.
It's definitely a groundbreaking franchise.
Right.
I'm not taking that away from it in any way.
Okay.
I just don't see it as an expanded universe yet.
Okay.
I think that's fair. I think I disagree with you a little bit. I think it is a expanded universe in its infancy. But it is shaping up to go in places that no expanded universe has ever gone. So I guess that's
it's a universe circulating around one person.
That is true. I mean, yes, absolutely. Okay. All right, I see what you're saying.
Everything comes back to Harry.
All right, so let's move on to one of the big major heavy hitter there, the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
I love Marvel. Marvel's my guy.
Marvel. So we have the Marvel we use MCU or Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of to refer as a catch-all. Technically, that's not 100% accurate because things like, you know, obviously Daredevil isn't on the big screen. It's not a
Right.
Cinematic.
It's not cinematic.
But I do believe, but everything, most of the stuff you're going to find is going to include the television shows as part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. They're all canon. So you're hitting, and Marvel was really.
Are they?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Okay. Joss Whedon, the producer of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., has said he does not know if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is canon at this point.
I'll say this. If Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. turned out not to be canon.
This is so confusing.
Which part?
How can something being produced you not know if it's canon or not?
Because there are the television studios are owned by a separate division of Marvel than the cinematic universe, and because you have a strictly one way, which I think we talked about.
And it split after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started. That show was already on the air, and then there was the split. So now Feige reports only to the president of Disney on the cinematic side. Whereas on the TV side, they still report back to Perlmutter also.
Now, you can find that. Do you remember what episode that was? It was a couple episodes ago where we talked about Perlmutter and how he's evil.
Yeah.
But the idea here is that you do have this expansion in a way that I don't think any other universe had done.
Right.
The way it hit the television. I mean, Star Wars arguably was up there with it. But I don't know. I think there's something different about the way Marvel's doing this.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think that they're maintaining four television series currently, mm-hmm. Actively, on top of movies at least once a year, and plans to expand out to new properties, new movies, new this, new completely new characters, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard to touch them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're absolutely killing it. The way that they weave things together is unprecedented, really.
And I think the biggest weakness I've got currently is that it's still a very top down. It's something we talked about on the show, uh-huh. on the Civil War review. It's still very much the movies dictate what's happening to everybody else. There's nothing going back the other direction. They need to do that. They need to get this TV. They need to get the TV and movie divisions on the same page.
If that's your biggest complaint, they're doing pretty good.
They are. They absolutely are. But
because on the other side of the aisle, at DC,
yeah,
it's looking a little different on that side.
I just don't even like.
You don't even know where to begin with this one?
I'll start here. The Murderverse.
Yes, the Murderverse.
That's the slang term that the slang phrase we're hearing for the DCEU, the DC Expanded Universe. It's also known as the Murderverse, thanks to Zack Snyder. Who was announced, by the way, mm-hmm. To no longer be the executive producer for Justice League.
Aww.
Ben Affleck, a.k.a. Batfleck,
yes.
Has been named as the EP. So Snyder is still directing. But it is under. They basically made Ben Affleck their Joss Whedon,
and I'd like to thank Brad Petrino Esquire, our resident lawyer, who
legal counsel.
He answered my question because I couldn't remember who Zack Snyder hated, if it was Batman or Superman, and Brad clarified for us that Zack Snyder actually hates us.
Right. Yes.
Zack Snyder hates his audience.
I.
So thank you, Brad, for that lovely enlightenment, and we all chuckled here at the show.
So I get...
We've got very high hopes for Suicide Squad.
We do. Suicide Squad should be great.
Here's my question. Marvel uses different directors, right?
Yes.
Why doesn't DC do that?
They do.
But why do they keep going back to Zack Snyder, who is... It's not working.
Well, like the Russo brothers did Winter Soldier, and then they did Civil War.
Right.
That's kind of become their property. Zack Snyder is handling, it seems like, Superman and the Justice League portion. But all the other individual movies are going to be handled by other directors. Ben Affleck is directing the Batman movie.
Right.
Suicide Squad was...
I don't remember.
What's his name? Oh, that's going to kill me.
But they're also losing directors.
Left and right.
The director for both Aquaman and Flash...
I can't talk about this.
No,
anymore.
Not Aquaman. He hasn't left yet.
I can't talk about Aquaman anymore.
You're gonna be okay.
He's having problems with the studio, but he hasn't left yet.
He's trying to escape. Flash already escaped. Seems like
Jason Momoa alone.
Jason Momoa is under contract. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Good.
But the however, was still...
unless they just scrap this whole thing,
I don't know. I mean.
That's what I wanted to tell you about the. There was a casting release put out for The Flash recently, And when they put these out, they describe what they're looking for these characters.
Uh-huh.
And from the sound of it, they are copying the TV show in the movie on The Flash, even though they're not going with Grant Gustin.
What?
Yeah. They're going to have Eobard Thawne, the Reverse Flash. He's going to be in a wheelchair. Like, all these details that they had about him and Iris sound just like the TV show versions. And it's stuff that wasn't canon to the comic book. Stuff that they made up for the TV show, they're taking into the cinematic universe. They are doing everything wrong at DC.
I can safely say that we all agree that DC is very fragmented and they need to fix it now.
And as much as I love the Suicide Squad trailers, whoever has been editing them must have really loved Wayne's World. Because every time they put one out, it's a song from a Wayne's World soundtrack.
Yeah, which is not a bad place to go. I mean, they're borrowing from the Guardians of the Galaxy, which managed to take, a group of characters that nobody's ever heard of,
right,
put an awesome soundtrack to it, and all of a sudden everybody's like, and I guess I'm in. Mm-hmm. And who knows? Maybe they'll strike gold with Suicide Squad. But I think if we're going to get into the universe specifics here, obviously DC isn't doing it right, but why? I think you have... The multiple universe thing is a bad idea because they're claiming that Arrow and
The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl
all exist in a separate universe. So they're part of things. They're just a different universe.
Which is funny because Supergirl is in a different universe. She's on a different Earth in the multiverse from The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow.
But Flash showed up.
Right.
So even within that, they have multiple.
Right.
And then, and I think that they got a little too ambitious. They've been playing catch up. Mm-hmm. I think they saw Star Wars, they saw Marvel especially, and they're trying desperately to start, and they don't have their stuff together. And I think that really the parts that don't work here is you're too fragmented, you don't have a collective vision for where you're going, and you haven't had the buy-in. You haven't had the buy-in from the fans.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really probably the three areas that I think are really hurting them overall. We could spend an entire 3 episodes on what's wrong with the DCU.
And I think too, they need, like, while they get their crap together, they need some sort of stopgap with the media, because the fact that everything that's going wrong gets released into these articles and we hear about all the issues that they're having with the directors and the producers, mm-hmm. like, we shouldn't know about that. Just give us a good movie.
Well, and what's really funny is in the comic books, there's always been a big rivalry between Marvel and DC.
Right.
And especially Marvel has always picked at DC. Like, Stan Lee used to do a Q&A section that you would have in the books, and he would always talk crap about DC. And now, every time that DC has something bad happen, Marvel stays real quiet.
Yeah,
and just lets that sit out there. And every time that DC does something cool, like release a new awesome trailer for Suicide Squad, Marvel's like, hey, we got this! And they put out some news that makes everybody go, oh, that's awesome! Who cares about DC?
I think realistically speaking, if I were DC, I think you just stop. I think you just don't release anything for 2 years. just get your shit together and try again. I don't know.
We just need to retcon the last several years of DC.
X-Men pulled it off. I mean, let's not forget.
Right.
X-Men was just, I don't know, X3 was just hot garbage, and they managed to pull, they managed to retcon it. They didn't reboot, they retconned.
They did.
That takes some huevos enteros.
It does.
And Bryan Singer. All right, now let's get into some more of the granddaddies here. First of all, the granddaddy of the expanded universe world, the one and only Doctor Who.
How is this an expanded universe?
Because now it is a much smaller expanded universe than a lot of the other ones. But number one, of course, you've got Doctor Who that's been around since the 60s, mm-hmm. And has gone through, you know, all of the Doctors that they've gone through. There have been multiple spinoff television shows that were all still within the same universe and still within canon, some better than others.
We got Torchwood. We got Class coming up soon.
Right. And you had K-9. Mm-hmm. Was the one with K-9 was in? I don't remember. But yes,
Sarah Jane Chronicles.
Is there Sarah Jane? Wait, that's the Terminator one. That's Sarah Connor Chronicles. Yeah. My fault.
It's different.
As well as a bunch of books that are traditionally considered, you know, mostly canon, and then a couple of audiobooks that they released that are also considered canon. That oftentimes feature the voices of the actual Doctors.
And then they've also got the comic books.
So, and then a handful of crossover stuff that I don't think probably qualifies as canon. There's one with there's a Doctor Who Star Trek crossover where the Borg and the Cybermen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think that's canon. Yeah. But the great part with Doctor Who, among all of them, is that Doctor Who can just, it's all time travel. So it is nothing for them to go, yeah, no, that did happen. But then time travel.
Exactly.
That's, and you know what? Doctor Who's earned that right. So I think, yeah, for as far as age is concerned, yeah, Doctor Who's going to outdo them all.
Pretty much. Well, although Marvel and DC have both been around longer than that.
It's true, but not the same EU kind of expanded universe.
But wait, if everything in the Harry Potter verse is centered around Harry Potter.
Yes.
Everything in the Doctor Who universe is centered around Doctor Who.
Torchwood isn't.
Nope.
But it came from Doctor Who.
Right.
Well, all of them came
That's
from
the expansion
original.
Of the universe.
Right.
No, I call shenanigans.
I think there's a lot of
if your argument about Harry Potter was one thing, it applies to Doctor Who. Doctor Who is all centered around one character.
Torchwood is not centered around Doctor Who.
But
he's never even in it.
Well, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them isn't centered around Harry Potter. Harry Potter isn't in it.
It hasn't come out
the
yet.
Book
That's why I said until
out.
It comes out.
The book the is textbook. Out. The textbook is out. I'm
right.
just saying.
It's a textbook.
I'm right here.
It's cute.
You guys.
Your
it's adorable.
Argument should apply here.
All right, you two.
Nah.
We'll let the fans decide. Both of you, feel free to comment section.
I would say that Doctor Who is bending the rules a little bit. It's on the fringes of being a expanded universe, but
Agreed.
It's much more so than Harry Potter is at this point. It could get there. It hasn't yet.
I mean, Doctor Who definitely is not among the larger expanded universes. You don't see the width and breadth that you see from a Star Wars or a Marvel. But I think there's a lot going on. I think there's a lot to be said for it, and I think that it definitely was one of the foundation stones that the rest of this stuff was built on. You know, that you start to kind of see these
and it's probably on more platforms than anything else that we've talked about.
That's true.
Because you've got the radio shows, you've got the books, comic books, the shows, the spinoffs.
The only thing that you haven't seen is a real, true, like, feature film. There have been lots of Doctor Who 2-hour movies kind of thing, but nothing on the big screen in the same way.
Which would be awesome.
It would. Capaldi, man.
Let's get that done before
not
he's gone.
Not Capaldi.
Absolutely Capaldi. You
no.
shut yourself.
Well,
I'm not your boyfriend.
It would be a multiple doctor
That's true.
Event.
Get Eccleston on the phone. Get your shit worked out. Let's see a movie.
That ain't going to happen.
I'm okay without Eccleston.
Yeah. It's okay.
Let's move on to the next one.
You're the only one who likes him.
I think Eccleston was good.
Not the only one in the world, just the only one in this room.
All right, last and certainly not least, another one that's been around and doing it for a long, long, long time, Star Trek.
Is that Scott Bakula?
It is.
He was in Star Trek?
Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah, we don't like to talk about that.
That's the prequel series, basically, to the original series.
Was he on that first or Quantum Leap?
Quantum Leap.
I like Quantum Leap better, anyways.
You do like Quantum Leap better.
Yeah.
You don't ever have to watch an episode of Enterprise. I will tell you, Quantum Leap was quantifiably better than Star Trek Enterprise in every single possible measure.
I really, really hope the next one is good.
So Star Trek is, I think, I'm glad we saved Star Trek for last because I think that Star Trek is a great example of things expanding out, going well, going badly, multiple levels, and going at this longer and in a lot of ways harder than, you know, Star Wars, harder than Doctor. I mean, it's bigger than your Doctor Who. It was getting ambitious well before Star Wars was really getting out there in the multiple levels here. You know, it has had a lot of hits and a lot of misses, but it's managed to kind of keep going and it's managed to keep its fan base energized the entire time.
Yeah.
So you obviously start with the original series, Captain James T. Kirk, and that led into several movies. From there, we got their books. We've got comic books, even back then.
Oh, yeah.
And they're still creating content for the original series, which is unheard of in comparison to a lot of what's essentially been you know.
Wasn't there only like 42 episodes or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, not many at all. Like, it was a very short run. And then you pick up Next Generation, and Next Generation was what brought it to a new group. This one was much longer, 8 seasons.
Yeah.
And under Patrick Stewart as his most iconic role as Captain Jean-Luc Picard. And then we get into the part where they really start to get ambitious and they drop two other shows in the same timeline, in the same time frame. You pick up Deep Space Nine and you pick up Voyager. So three of these things technically are all happening at the same time. And I think for a brief period of time, all three were on the air at the same time. Although that might not be true. Voyager may not have picked up until after Enterprise, Next Generation dropped off. And all of that looked amazing and it was well done. And you saw character crossovers between the shows. I think Worf showed up on everyone, all of them.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, if you check, there was even an episode of Deep Space Nine where they went back in time. And so Worf was technically on the original series, in a way. And then came Enterprise. And I think Enterprise.
See, I didn't like Deep Space Nine either.
Deep Space Nine had its moments. I mean, Star Trek's a little cheesier than most. And Enterprise was their attempt at a gritty reboot. But it was a Star Trek
Deep
gritty
Space
reboot,
Nine
so.
To me felt like Star Wars or Star Trek's attempt to be Battlestar.
Absolutely. Oh no, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very concept was strange because they're not expanding, they're not exploring anything. They're sitting on a starface.
They're not going out. You know,
there's no strange new. I mean, although they did have, of course, they had the Gamma Quadrant and the wormhole and the
right.
So Star Trek Enterprise was supposed to be a prequel.
Yes.
Oh,
okay. Which is one of the big areas where they missed that, because having that as a prequel shat on canon all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, you just...
Well, and in the movies, the Next Generation folks went back in time to First Contact when the warp drive was invented on Earth, and the Vulcans said, hey, now we can talk to you.
Right.
And that's where we learned about the rest of the galaxy. And then right after that, the beginning of our space travel is the Star Trek Enterprise. Yes?
Yeah. Actually, you know, all of that is correct. I don't know about the Enterprise portion of it. Enterprise was so bad, I couldn't.
It was so boring, I couldn't get through the first half of the first season.
And I was so excited because Scott Bakula, I love Scott Bakula. He was fantastic. But they mess with the canon. They mess with the timeline. It didn't feel like Star Trek. It felt like a really bad Star Wars live action. Mm. Like
ran for like 4 or 5 years.
It did.
Yeah, only because it was Star Trek.
Mm. It had some hardcore fans.
It did. And I'm sure we've got some listeners out there who think that I'm just full of just blasphemy here.
There's plenty of people who hated Voyager.
I actually did not care for Voyager.
I like Voyager.
I liked Captain Janeway. I liked a lot of the characters, but there's a lot of pieces of that just didn't. I was just bored.
So most of the different show iterations featured a different cast and crew and ship, etc.
Yes. Although there was usually, not counting the two outliers, Enterprise and the original series, those three main series in the middle had a bit of crossover. Characters would kind of. I think there's had to be a couple of folks that showed up on
and even original series and Next Gen had the crossover with
Spock
Generations.
Yeah, that's true. And Spock shows up. Well, Spock shows up for a brief stint in Next Generation, and Bones actually shows up for the first episode, I believe, of the Next Generation.
Yeah,
Bones,
and
then they did the Doctor guy.
Yeah, Dr. McCoy.
They did the movie Star Trek Generations, where it was the two casts together.
Right. And really headlined Captain Kirk and Captain.
It was
Picard.
Kind of the passing of the baton of the movie universe. From the original cast to the Next Generation cast.
And you did see a little bit more of the back and forth between the television series and the movies, which is mm-hmm. not quite as much as it probably needed to be since it was a television series first.
Yeah.
But you saw a little bit of it.
And now we have the new movies, which is kind of like a reboot, right?
Yes.
A retelling of the original story.
Yeah.
It's a reboot, but it's a reboot that it's a kind of a retconned reboot. Because
it's an alternate timeline.
Right. So you're kind of going a little DC on it, which I think was necessary, but kind of a miss.
Why do we know it's an alternate timeline? What is that? Like, how do we?
Because
Spock shows up.
Yeah.
Well, and because Vulcan is destroyed.
Yeah.
Vulcan is a planet that is visited, I think, in pretty much every single series ever. A lot of the movies.
Except for Voyager, because they were in the.
Right. I mean, there's. It's very, Vulcan is a very major planet in the Star Trek universe,
yeah.
And so to blow it up at the beginning of effectively the Star Trek original series timeline says that we're going a slightly different direction here.
Yeah.
So they blatantly, with that action, basically said this is a alternate timeline of the beginning.
Right.
Yes.
Of the origin.
Yeah.
Right.
This is like what would have happened if Vulcan was destroyed. But then it's not what would have happened because then Spock shows up.
Jumping timelines.
Jumping timelines. Okay. I think I'm getting it.
So, yeah. And it's, like I said, Star Trek has got some hits and misses. I'm a huge Trek fan. I love Star Trek, but it's got some, I mean, I'll admit, yeah, there's some areas that are a little rough there.
Yeah. Well, and I think really the biggest reason that they blew up Vulcan was to give a reason for Spock to show some emotion in this series.
Yeah.
Which some people are for that, some people are against that.
I like the new movies. I don't care what you say.
I
don't care what you say.
That's fine. And Spock's not bad. I have no problem with what's his face. Mm-hmm. What's the guy's name?
Who's Chris Pine?
No, that's Kirk.
Jeremy Quinto.
Zachary Quinto. Zachary Quinto is Spock. I have no problem with.
I love him. He's awesome.
But I think you're missing one of the core dynamics that made the original series work when you make two of them Kirk. You have Kirk and slightly angrier Kirk.
Yeah.
Well, that's just not.
But did Spock have a relationship with the girl in the TV shows?
No.
Spock didn't have a relationship with anyone.
I like that.
In fact, Kirk had a relationship with her.
I like it with Spock and her.
On the TV show, Uhura and Kirk shared the first interracial kiss on broadcast television.
And it was a thing.
It was a big thing.
Capital T, yeah.
There was a lot of history made in that series.
It was. And it was awesome. I mean, it was groundbreaking. It was phenomenal. Anyway, so those are the main ones. You guys, if have any that we missed, we had some more that we kind of talked about. We would have liked to have done. I think you absolutely could have made an argument for Stargate. But
I've never seen Stargate.
You're lucky I didn't revolt over that.
I know, but we have to, timeline and timelines. Nope, not that. Mm-hmm. Time frames and levels and things. So, but if there's any other Spanning universes you feel like we missed, please let us know in the comments.
And also tell me that I won the argument with Dan.
Oh, please.
Potter v. Who.
No contest.
I'm not saying that Doctor Who isn't an expanded universe. I was just simply saying that based on the rule that you put in place, mm-hmm. saying Harry Potter isn't expanded, then neither is Doctor Who.
But you're completely
argument.
Wrong. So
let's
we'll
talk
on.
About our B-roll.
B-roll.
So we don't cover video games enough. It's a shame. And we need to. We just don't. I have a hard time with a lot of the current video games.
Me
and
too.
I'm a big fan. I've gone real retro, so I'm still like
I don't have a console, so
that'll slow you down a little bit. Yeah. Although you certainly can play on a computer, but
yeah,
I don't. I just don't like it. I mean, here's where I'm currently playing Borderlands 1. So I'm like,
I don't even know what that is.
It's another first person shooter, unlike our two primaries on this one. So anyway, we're talking about video games now, and we have heard from our listeners. We're going to try to do a bit more video game stuff. Just going to keep working. You know what I mean? Anyway, so two major first person shooter properties, Battlefield and Call of Duty. These two are kind of the big heavy hitters. There's a couple others in there under the first-person shooter genre, but for this type of, we'll call it war game, classic war kind of deals. Uh-huh.
Like genre?
Yeah, I guess. Battlefield, Call of Duty, those are the two big titles, and been slugging it out for a decade now.
Yeah.
I played both properties for several years. I think it was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. That I eventually fell off on.
That's where it stopped actually feeling like modern warfare and like future warfare?
Yeah, and well, it wasn't even that. It was I got tired of being called a horrific number of racial slurs.
Yeah.
And I'm not terribly good at first-person shooters, and so when I play online, I'm usually towards the bottom of the heap, which means that people just call me horrific, horrific names.
I loved the early games, especially like the World War II one.
Oh, yeah.
And everything. I loved Modern Warfare 1. Modern Warfare 2 just didn't do it for me, and that they kind of lost me. And this new one looks very much like that one, but with spaceships.
So before we get into the details.
Well, yeah, so you asked us to watch the two trailers, and I was like, I don't know why you would want me to watch the two trailers unless it's because you guys really wanted to hear why I don't like first-person shooter games, especially because one of them was like 3 minutes long, which is not a trailer, you guys. That's not a trailer. But then I saw that you told us to look at the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's where things got a little interesting.
Well, should we mention the difference in likes and dislikes?
Yes, actually. Absolutely.
Because we mentioned the other day that, which trailer was the
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters was the most
hated,
disliked
movie trailer
overall. And now Call of Duty has overtaken it as the most disliked.
Infinite War, yeah, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Right now it's at 1.5 million dislikes.
And counting.
Yeesh. And that's only been out for how long now?
A week.
Like a week, yeah, about a week give or take. Yeah. And Battlefield 1, meanwhile, is the opposite. I don't even know. I think it's right around the same amount. Just millions of likes.
It looked a lot better to me.
It looks a lot better to me if I liked that kind of thing.
So there's two things going on here, and two things I want to address. Mm-hmm. I want to address the YouTube reaction and the fans' reaction, as well as the actual games themselves.
But is it the fans' reaction?
Exactly. But let's talk about the games themselves real quick, because we've kind of covered this a little bit.
Yeah.
So Infinite Warfare decided to take all of the joys of Modern Warfare and throw it up in space. There's some stuff going on there that I think is pretty interesting. The idea of breaching a spaceship, that looks pretty cool. It doesn't look like it's a bad game.
But I'm not playing Call of Duty for that. The thing that's always been great about Call of Duty is it was such a great war simulator.
But aren't there Black Ops? Isn't that their more popular...
Right, that's the same. It's all under the same title.
No, I know.
We've got friends that served in the military that shot these weapons that were in these types of situations that said that it was incredibly realistic, and they have taken that and flushed it down the toilet by adding these spaceships
and going science fiction-y.
It almost feels like they're trying to say now that Call of Duty all this time has been a prequel to Halo. That's what it was to me.
Science fiction-y?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Halo is absolutely like you're in a spaceship, in a spacesuit, a much more badass spacesuit, right, to be fair. And you're going around, you're shooting aliens.
That's what you wanted SpaceX's suit to look like.
Oh, my God.
That's why you were disappointed. It's not a Master Chief.
Guilty.
Done.
Supervillain. Just saying.
Uh-huh.
Just saying.
So anyways.
So Call of Duty, and I think you reach a good point though. I saw this one of my buddies who currently serves in the Army actually showed me this video of a group of actual infantry that would play on a team together on Call of Duty, and one of them, run it with
Military precision.
Literal military precision. And holy smokes, dude, there was no stopping them. They constantly had one guy who had the eyes in the sky. He was calling the shots. He was telling people where to go. It was amazing.
Imagine giving those guys an Oculus Rift to play with.
If you're in the military, why would you play a game about being in the military? Like, isn't that just kind of like doing work?
No. No, because most of the military, based on my wife's time in service, involves standing, and that's about it. Just standing,
thinking about war,
waiting, cleaning, moving heavy things from one spot to another spot.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if someone's out doing a tour, in Afghanistan, why would they want to play a game that simulates exactly what is real life?
You know, I think we may be delving into areas that go outside of our purview.
A little bit.
It's an interesting question.
Psychology?
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, I'm not, that's.
It's an interesting question. I just have no idea what the answer to that would be.
Yeah.
But so Battlefield 1, however, so whereas Call of Duty Infinite Warfare went into outer space, I will say this, the other thing about Call of Duty, I want to pause real quick. The other thing Call of Duty has done excellently, and I think continues to do, is the first person stories are amazing.
Yeah,
they've done an amazing job with it. I don't usually the first person game is kind of like the first person game in like a Street Fighter kind of, you know what I mean? You're running around, you're fighting some people, now go play the multiplayer.
Right.
Call of Duty, I thought, always did a really great job at really giving you a character and a story that you cared about.
Yeah, you're working your way through a movie essentially.
Exactly.
I just didn't understand why they were in the city and then they're on a spaceship.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That part's going to be needing some story.
Right.
But it does still look like you've got a little bit of the story there.
If they really wanted to do that, they could have just gotten with the folks over at Independence Day and said, let's make a new video game to go with your movie that's coming out. And they could have made an Independence Day game that would have looked just like this.
That would have been cool.
That would not have alienated their hardcore Call of Duty fans.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, so Battlefield 1, on the other hand, did something that legitimately surprised me. They went back to World War One.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about Battlefield, obviously, but I thought that that looked cool, and I could see why someone who is in the military now would want to play something like that because it's historical, mm-hmm. except for the knight thing.
Okay, so real quick, history nerd. I know I saw that too.
Because I don't think that they had knights.
They did. Not full armored like medieval
1900s?
Knights.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. It looked like a medieval knight.
You got to watch a little bit carefully because here's the deal: when World War One strikes, World War One is what modernized warfare on a global scale.
Right
at the beginning of World War One, you had people with sabers and horses charging towards people with machine guns. It went exactly as well as you'd imagine it would.
Yeah,
but you have, I mean, a lot of times these uniforms, especially the French army. Their uniforms were these bright reds and bright blues and looked like them. All the era, it looks like a Napoleonic War. Mm-hmm. And World War One, I mean, there had been a rapid increase in technology, and not everybody was there. So a lot of your generals were still, you know, generals with the Napoleonic Wars in mind and those rules of warfare and were not prepared for the brutal realities of what eventually turned into trench warfare. And so, yes, you absolutely had people, horses charging. And then getting mowed down because a machine gun.
But there was a guy with like a mask on his face that you looked like a knight in shining armor.
He looked like
a
medieval
knight. I
missed
that when I watched it.
Yeah, and he hit somebody with a saber.
The saber, yes.
He had a full like a jousting thing on. Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that.
We'll watch the trailer after we finish recording. I'll show you.
But
why it was confusing to me.
Right. Well, to the best of my knowledge, there wasn't a whole lot of fully armored.
And they cut from that to the Red Baron, which was just.
Which was World War
One. Did they have horses in like the Civil War?
Yes, absolutely.
Lots of them.
Right, but the Civil War.
They did. Never.
Yeah, the Civil War taking place in the 1860s.
Not the Marvel one.
No.
But the American one.
Now I'm remembering all of the pictures of like General Grant and General
right.
Lee.
Right. So Civil War, American 1860s.
Yes.
World War One, 1914, 1915.
Okay, I get it now. I get it now.
Anyway, not
a big history person.
That's okay.
Not a big spacey person.
Well, you really earn your spot on the show, don't you?
Yeah.
All right.
Interestingly, like Harry Potter.
She also watched all the Marvel movies. She's fine. Yeah, point is those are the games, and so I think there was a lot of fans felt betrayed by Call of Duty going into outer space rather than doing something I don't know more.
The zombie grounded. Thing, first of all, that threw me when they started introducing zombies.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, at least it wasn't part of the main game. It was like a little add-on.
Right.
Fine, that's okay. When they started getting a little too future techy. I was like, that's not what I came to Call of Duty for.
Right.
I'll just play the old ones until you guys figure out how to fix this.
Do you think that they're just trying to capitalize on everything that's popular right now?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got to remember that a lot of times these games are, I mean, these games fail and studios go under. Like, these games are incredibly expensive to produce and make more money than most movies. But the profit margins on them are dangerous because if one game tanks, you're in a real, real bad way. Speaking of which, Infinite Warfare. So one of the most liked, most disliked videos, period. Battlefield 1, one of the most liked, period. Here's the thing.
They're not that different.
They're not. And so the running theory is that it's bots. I don't think that you've got a case of
Battlefield's people doing that.
Nothing official. Nothing like that. I think it's fanboys. And then the problem with a lot of the stuff on the internet is, you know, fanboys manage to create this gap and get this started, and then it picks up popular. It becomes a self-perpetuating.
And there were actually comments of people that said that they came over there just to read the comments. So if you're just reading the comments and realize that everyone else hates it, you might just jump on the bandwagon and click dislike even without watching the video.
Exactly. Or even if the video was fine, which I just think the video was fine. It doesn't look terribly interesting to me, but I'm not gonna, but Call of Duty's lost me a long time ago.
Well, and now with this, obviously it being so disliked, no matter what, we all watched it. We all didn't like it. You know what I mean? So it could be genuinely, like you said, it could just be snowballing off of the fact that a lot of people really didn't like it. But what does Call of Duty do from here?
Do
they learn their lesson? Do they go back to back to the well and start over?
No,
their comments were something to the idea of they respected the passion of their fans.
I feel like you can't start over when you've already produced the game. You've already spent way too much money.
That's not what I mean. I mean with the next
game
title that they put out.
Well, first you got to see whether or not they're still around after. I mean,
but well, aren't there two different studios that they alternate between?
Yes. So DICE is the one. I mean, it's owned by EA. Right?
No, Battlefield.
No, sorry,
is
Battlefield
EA.
EA. Who owns them now? Can you check that out for me? There's a studio that owns them, yes, but there's two different studios that are covering this. If one of them goes down, yeah, no, you got yourself a pretty substantial issue. But really the question is, if a game of that magnitude fails in a big way, like a legitimately big way, is it enough to tank the studio? That's been one of the big things that that has been wondering about. A lot of the popular opinion floating around video game insiders, journalists, whatever you want to call them, is that all of these studios are one really bad game away from just closing up shop and failing. So I guess what we're going to find out is whether or not, number one, all of those internet dislikes actually translate to anything in the marketplace, and two, if that is the case, does it end up tanking a studio? Right. And if that does, their belief is, that this can set off a chain reaction, and that we're sitting in the middle of a video game bubble anyway that is just poised to burst. Can games that cost as much as Modern Warfare survive when there's games like Angry Birds out there that, garner more fans, period, for a quarter of the price? Infinity Ward and Activision. I should have known that. Treyarch was the one before them. It doesn't matter. So we'll have to wait and see what happens, but we'll be keeping an eye on it. We'll be keeping you updated.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm hoping that this inspires them to say, you know what, maybe we should just go back to the beginning, and they can't go back to World War One now, but...
But at some point, aren't you just remaking the same game? Sports franchise. You know what I mean? Like, we're just releasing a new version every year because we can.
Well, like you said, thing about Call of Duty has always been the story.
Sure.
And so you can tell a great story... Another great story in World War II. You could tell another great story in Vietnam. You could tell another great story in Desert Storm. You could pick any war from history and make it work.
That's true. What has not really done a whole lot of is to really go back and give me a good. I mean, the closest you're going to is a good like American Revolution, a good War of 1812. I mean, there's.
Yeah, when we learned from the Indians how to. When we learned from the Native Americans how to fight, and the British came over and got destroyed.
That we're missing a few pieces, but sure. it would be interesting to see how a lot of those things worked out. I mean, you really want to impress me? Go back, show me a game based around the Genghis Khan and the horse nomads and the steppe peoples as they fell upon the Persian Empire. Now I'm interested. Unfortunately, yeah. I'll be the only one.
No, I don't think so. If they made it with the kind of graphics that they use now and the storytelling that they've always had, I think that they could actually make that really cool.
I would love it. But now you're talking a lot of hand-to-hand combat as opposed to guns.
Which is probably harder to code.
I would imagine so, but I don't know.
You got hand-to-hand, you got archery. I mean, there's so many. There's still different levels and different things that you could do with it.
True.
But coding body mechanics is probably difficult in combat situations, I would think.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. So that is more than enough for us on that one. Let's go ahead and get some shameless plugs going. Producer Dan!
All right. So May 20th, you can find Epic Events.
That's 2016.
Right. Yeah, 2016. All right. So May 20th, 2016, at Hourglass Brewery, you can find Epic Events. And you can also find us on epiceventsorlando.com for all your DJ needs.
Miss Danielle.
I am going to plug The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I think everyone out there should watch it. It is freaking hysterical. We finished season 2 and it ended with a giant whammy that was awesome.
It was really good.
Did you see the ending?
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't as good as season 1, but it was going to be really hard to be as good as season 1.
I think where they're going with Titus is awesome. I think where they're going with Carol Kane is awesome. I think where they're going with Jackie is awesome. I think where they're going with Kimmy and Tina Fey is freaking amazing. I think it's awesome.
Tina Fey was epic. She was awesome.
Beyond epic.
Okay, anything else for you?
I don't know.
All right.
Get back to me later.
That's fair.
Oh, wait. I wanted to... No, I forgot again.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that. I don't think I've got anything in particular to plug. I've just been exhausted, so it's just staring there. So, oh, although, you know what we absolutely should mention is the awesome folks here at Factor, where we record. Factor Studios here in amazing Orlando, Florida.
Winter Park, Florida, aren't we?
No, it's Orlando.
No, we're
we in Orlando?
Over on Virginia Drive. Factor with a U F A C T U R, right next to the Hideaway Bar.
F-U-C-T.
No, that's very different. amazing makerspace, 3D printers, welders, wood, I don't know how to use all the stuff out there. It's amazing. And if anybody's interested in helping me become a supervillain, I'll share my membership or something. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. I really don't think I'm allowed to do that. Danielle, tell them where to find us.
You can find us on Facebook at For Geeks' Sake with an apostrophe. Make sure you find this episode post, like it, share it, tell us what you think about how we did on the expanded universe. You can also find us on the Twitter at For Geeks' Sake. That's two S's.
Her name's Elizabeth.
And her name is Elizabeth. You can tweet at us and Elizabeth will tell us all about it. And also you can find us on your whatever your podcasting app is on your phone or your tablet or your computer. Make sure you're subscribed. I think maybe some of you have forgotten how to subscribe. So just click that little subscribe button and you will get our podcast every week.
It is pretty straightforward.
And also, of course, May 20th, 2016 at 7 p.m. Find us at the Hourglass Brewery in Longwood for our Geek Street Station launch party. You could be a guest on this show.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, this is Al Sterling saying, these are not my hammers. The hammer is my penis.